We were lucky enough to catch up with the boys from the Pink Flamingo Social Club while we were up in the Gold Coast last month for the Australian Crypto Convention. Alex, Braden and Dom run a bunch of projects in both Web 2 and Web 3, including the world's first multi-chain NFT project, a rock band, a film production company, and a community-driven sci-fi NFT project. These gents are busy, knowledgeable, and bloody legends. Join us for a chat where we're talking all things culture, cross-chain, and live events in Australia. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Queensland, fellas.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us, boys. What a bloody wild weekend that was. Coming off hot off the Australian Crypto Convention for the last couple of days. Lucky enough to share a booth with you amazing boys. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your creativity. Really appreciate it. Guys, welcome to the NFTs are for Everyone podcast. We're joined here by the Pink Flamingo Social Club. We've got Alex, Don, and Braden, and we're here at the Henchman in Miami. Guys, hello. Welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you love to do.
Bloody oath. Well, we are the Pink Flamingo Social Club. We're an NFT project that is a multi-chain NFT project. We started on Phantom as our first chain. It's one collection over three chains. So started on Phantom, went to AVAX, went to Matic, and now we're about to mint on ETH coming up real soon, which will complete the collection across all four chains. But first and foremost, the three of us are all musicians in a band together, and yeah, the Pink Flamingo Social Club is our sort of first NFT project, our Genesis NFT project, as we venture into the wild world of Web3 and NFTs. So, about me, well, I'm a film producer. I run a film production company. And basically, yeah, like again, sort of with that, I've been leaning into Web3 in that realm as well. And I think the whole sort of space is just ultimately super exciting for, I think, all creative industries. And I think there's a lot of future there. So that's kind of where I'm come from, is from a film background and a music background. These two legends, I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm an audio engineer by trade, music producer. Run a studio in Brisbane, but yeah, NFTs is kind of like the next step of creativity, I think, in engaging with people and creating content out of the general scope that we see with like social media and the way that the kind of tech is run these days. So it's a super exciting place to be. Helping brands and businesses get into the Web3 space. It's exciting. It's exciting, yeah.
I'm an artist. My name is Freud. Well, on the online sphere, my name is Freud, but my real name is Braden Doig. I play in a band with the boys. The band's called Boss Moxie. We've been a creative collective and a crew for quite some time. As Alex has mentioned, film, music production, all that sort of stuff. Graphic design and kind of art and illustration, definitely on my side of things. I've been doing that my whole life, so it's very exciting for me to be entering the NFT space and finding a little bit of success there. First time in my life I've been able to like basically live off artwork and live off an expression of mine which I hold quite dear. So Pink Flamingo Social Club's been really good. It's been a great introduction to the space, which is what it was intended to be. So we're coming up 12 months soon, and it's been a hell of a ride. Definitely brought us three, I think, a bit closer together. But yeah, it's just the first of many things that we're putting on.
I love that, guys. And you, like, the three of you are so creative, right? You have creative backgrounds, you're playing in a band together, right? And then conventionally, you wouldn't think that there would be a natural kind of step to Web3, but as NFT and art culture really like blossomed and bloomed, like 12 months ago was September, that was last year. That wasn't that far ago, right? And then a full year later, you've got a successful project across three chains so far, about to go into a fourth chain. You've navigated it yourself. You worked out the successes, the pitfalls. Do you guys, I mean, naturally you're not coders. And what I'm getting at here is your background wasn't in tech. Your background wasn't in coding. For other like musicians and artists that are like listening to this, and as we've been talking to many in the past, what kind of advice would you give them to start off? Or what kind of questions would you say, hey, look, if you're thinking about it, start asking yourself this question, or start talking to this person, or think about it this way.
I mean, honestly, you don't need to be a coder. Like, the thing is like, I think what's so amazing about the whole NFT space, and like once you get in, it's so collaborative, and it is also the sort of space, like, you don't need to, we are physically all live, you know, in the same city, but, you know, you could have an NFT project that everyone is in different parts of the world, and you're so connected through Twitter and Discord and stuff like that. I think if you're an artist or a band that wants to get into NFTs, like, it's very easy to find someone, A, to be your dev and do that, or you technically, I mean, it's even getting to the point now, you don't even really need to do that if you want. Like, you can, there's launch pads and there's all sorts of stuff that make, you know, making an NFT project super easy now. So, yeah, it is a bit of a, and you can learn it yourself, absolutely. Like, Dan's started getting into it since we started this project, and
I think the big thing for us is, like, the, you know, the common saying is degens, right? Like, it's this degen mentality, and I think that is, like, people who are, like, necessarily unhappy with the current system or think there's more to be gained out of life and are willing to take a risk, willing to take a gamble. And, you know, it's easy now because it's art focused, so that's like the visual drawing, you know, we, like, see a good artwork, we're drawn to it. But ultimately it's just like, yeah, challenges to systems that have gone ahead. And as creatives, you know, you're very confined to what the corporate man or corporate world wants of you in your creative endeavors. And if you're, you know, think there's more to life than that, or you want something outside of it, then that's where, like, NFTs, that's what drew us to the space. And that's why we've hung around, because of this freedom to create and stuff, man.
So you mentioned something really cool there. It was degen, right? And so it's actually quite an endearing term in the industry. And I just want to explore that a bit with you guys, because you say it with a smile. I can see the smile on your face right now. And what was your first kind of degen experience where you understood and you kind of felt like a degen? Because people that are listening, they're like, what the fuck? A degenerate? Like, I'm not a degenerate.
We were just talking about this before, like, cracking those codes for that Neo Tokyo thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, that shout out Alex Becker and Elio.
Yeah, and also, fuck you guys.
No,
I cracked every single code. Every code. I was like sleepless nights trying to crack these codes and doing these things, and I literally got every single one. And I get to the point where you have to mint the NFT, and you have to do it through Etherscan, through the contract. And basically I fucked up. And if I knew a little bit more about dev stuff, I knew what I know now then, I wouldn't have made this mistake. But yeah, like, this token, basically you didn't need to specify your token ID. So I'm trying to run the transaction specifying the token ID, and it kept failing. I just could have put any fucking number in there and it would have gone through. I found out because someone had used that number that I picked. Anyway, that whole experience, I suppose, was a very degen, like, you know, staying up until, like, some nights I didn't even sleep. I'm just trying to crack these codes, and, like, you get real obsessed with something. But that's what's so great about the space. And I think, like,
well, you were with other people, right?
Yeah, with all these
Discord randoms. Connecting random people, just problem solving and working out how to mint this thing that you're not even sure what it is.
I was in a group with, like, hundreds of people all around the world, don't know any of them, and we're all working together to crack this code. And I think, like, from a perspective of, like, us as artists and musicians, from a band perspective, like, that just shows you the kind of rad power that you can have with your community and your fans. Like, you can create these, like, epic journeys for your fans to get super engaged with, like, the lore of whatever your project is. And I don't know, like, I think the community building side of Web3 and NFTs is almost the strongest, most powerful part about it. Like, yeah.
Can we talk a bit about that? How you guys have gone about building your community in with the Pink Flamingo Social Club?
Fully.
Yeah. Love to hear about how you kind of, like, started doing that. And you guys had some pretty early success. You were the first to do a pretty significant thing.
I mean, the Pink Flamingo Social Club straight up is just, you know, we kind of said that before. As a team moving into the space, we kind of conceived the project as a means of learning the space. Like, being on the outskirts and seeing its advantages is one thing, but actually being involved and having a project of our own was things that we could never conceive or never have learnt. Like, you just have to be in the space and be doing a project of your own to learn. So, like, a lot of the ideas we have for community engagement didn't actually pan out to the ways we actually had to pick it up. But
what did you start out with?
Well, I mean, things have really worked. Like, I ran a podcast for a long time, being multi-chain, like going out and poaching different artists that were kind of entering the space on different chains. My focus was bringing artists from different chains into one conversation. So we would have like an AVAX artist and a Phantom artist and a Maddox artist all talking about their journey into the space and kind of breaking down the lines of how similar everyone's, doesn't matter what blockchain you're on, the blockchain is the technology that's providing this connectivity of artists and creators. So that was a really good thing. That's definitely engaged our community like pretty intensely, being art focused. But I think in the future, Dan's vision for the Discord being community manager is it's more focused around education, I think.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, just to start with that, I think the big thing that has helped us is like we were new to the space, and when it came to building the project, Alex hopped on with Tinfoil. In his rabbit hole and kind of pitched the idea.
Tinfoil,
he's a big influencer outside of the Phantom space now, but a Phantom OG.
It's definitely a DJ, and, if we're talking.
Oh, 100%. Realist. He's one of the biggest. Tinfoil. Yeah, shout out to Tinfoil. But essentially, you know, we pitched the idea to them, and then it was opened up to a lot more people in the Phantom community. And shouts out to Hot Sauce. He was the one that came up with the idea about the NFT. He let us know about the multi-chain bridge and flamingos being migratory. Maybe they could migrate across chains. But I think us taking everything there and implementing it into a project, they felt a part of the project now. They felt like this is a team that is happy to pivot, happy to learn, and happy to adopt the tech that we present. And I think that's always, moving forward, we've kind of always listened to community suggestions. You know, going to different chains, you cop a lot of FUD because you are coming from a different culture and you're trying to, like, yeah, you know, impose something from over here. And people have been like, hey, that's not going to work here, but maybe you can do this. And literally being like, you have been heard and we are going to do that. And thank you very much. Like, that builds community. And so, yeah, moving forward, we want to kind of make it an educational spot for multi-chain by bringing those people who educated us on their chain into a common space to educate everyone. And also, you know, kind of create or give alpha to people if they're from Ethereum and they want to learn about Phantom or AVAX, and they can straight away know what the blue chip projects are and hear from the blue chip founders about what's going on in their space and stuff like that.
Because that's like the hardest thing is we found is going cross-chain. Like, we started on Phantom and now we're all the way to ETH now, but whenever we went to the next chain, the hardest thing is like where to start. And it is really hard to find where to start on a new chain. But if you know, say, the top two or three projects, and you also know the top two or three Discord communities, then it's easy. Like, and we met this one guy from AVAX, AVAX 8, and dyslexic from AVAX 8, and he's kind of they're kind of like the OG blue chip on Avalanche.
Yeah.
And he basically, we went in completely open. We're like, look, we have no idea about AVAX at all. Teach us your wisdom. Where do we go? What project should we buy?
That's like, the amazing part of the community, right? Everyone's just so open and everyone just wants to teach everyone and just bring everyone up together.
Fully. And he's like, all right, you should get an AVAX ape, join the AVAX ape community. You should get a couple of other NFTs. He's like, these are pumping Discords. Did that, and within a matter of like weeks, we knew who's who in AVAX.
Yeah.
And started then making friends with these people. And then eventually, through presence and being there, all these people turned into our biggest supporters, and they promoted our mint and they helped us sell out on AVAX.
Cool. So were you just talking in the Discords, making friends, forming relationships, asking questions, giving advice?
Yeah, just jumping in.
Twitter spaces. Yeah.
Jumping in, and I think people like love honesty. When you come in and you're like, guys, I'm new here, I don't know anything about anything, teach me.
Yeah.
People love teaching you stuff, right?
Yeah.
Everyone loves to give you alpha. So if you come into any space and you're like, I fucking know everything, I'm like some big wig on fucking ETH, people are just going to tell you to get fucked. But if you come in and you're like, I'm super fresh here, what, I want to, you know, build some AVAX NFT bags, what should I get?
Yeah.
Everyone will just help you. And then suddenly, you're in. And I think that's the beauty of the space. If you're just willing to
adapt,
ask for a bit of direction, people will give it to you. But going back to what Dan was saying, that's kind of what we want the Pink Flamingo Social Club to eventually be, is a starting point for people who want to get into Phantom, Avalanche, Matic, and ETH NFTs and know, but be able to get a perspective from, you know, from people who have gone through what we've gone through and had to build four different communities on four different chains. We can be like, cool, here's where you start on Phantom, or that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I remember when we met, Dan, over in Brisbane earlier in the year, and what we were talking about was how different blockchains have different cultures. And that was something that I found really interesting, and I hadn't actually had anyone talk to me about that before and really dive in and sort of explain it to be almost like comparing them to countries where they have their own currencies, their own cultures, their own customs. Can you talk a little bit about that, and also talk about the advantages of going multi-chain for those that might not understand exactly what that means?
Well, I think the big, people have made a lot of money in that last bull run, right? They were chain maxis. And so people just thought there was chain was the chain that, you know, was going to make everyone rich or make people rich. But each chain was got rich off its own reasons. So, you know, Phantom was quite heavily into DeFi. AVAX was quite heavily into gaming. And Matic is like a metaverse kind of thing. But from the outside, they've all got their DeFi. They've all got their gaming. They've all got their metaverse kind of stuff. And it only, we didn't even realize that going from Phantom to AVAX, we just thought that we could come in with this NFT profile picture based on art and rock socks. And the first thing people were like is like, where's the DeFi element? Where's the staking? Where's this stuff? Why would I buy an NFT that doesn't give me yield? Because of the popular projects on that chain.
Was this we're in the Discord that you were getting that feedback?
This is on Twitter Spaces. Everywhere? This is on Discord. This is on just kind of like reaching out into these communities and trying to build this stuff. And then, I mean, ultimately, we've been the ones to kind of come to these conclusions, I think, like because other people hadn't gone multi-chain. They hadn't realized what was so special about their chain. They just knew that they bought it 2 years ago and, you know, now their bags were fat and they could do whatever. And I think this is ultimately what a multi, like, you know, chain maxis and all this kind of stuff, Ethereum, Solana. I think ultimately, you know, the future will be multi-chain because, you know, it gets niche, and niche markets and niche things, they will thrive when there's like a space for them, just like culture does. Just like, you know, artists don't just come out of nowhere, you know, like Pink Floyd wasn't just the one band in town doing really well. Like there was a whole scene around it, and Pink Floyd were just, you know, the ones to rise up to the top and stuff like that. Brian Eno calls them seniuses. Rather than there being a genius, it's an actual scene that is the genius. And obviously as humans, we like to identify with one person or one thing, you know, like gods and stuff like that. But yeah, that they didn't come out of nowhere. And so that's the kind of thing about like these blockchains, is that they have their strengths, and rather than them being a jack of all trades, like the blockchain and the movability between chains, you know, so through multi-chain, you can bridge your NFTs and stuff like that. It just keeps you flexible to move. And like, you know, if your NFT, if a chain goes down and your NFT's on it, no worries, you can just bridge it across. Or, you know, it's going to go down, or the liquidity's dried up, or there's no volume. Like, you know, you should be able to evolve and adapt, and you shouldn't also hate on people or DAOs or groups that do this, because ultimately the space is too small to be favoritizing and picking one. You have to be flexible if you want to survive. Otherwise, you know, just wait till the next bull run and your chain will go. But that's three years away, or 2 years, or however long away. And it's like a lot to be gained, and a lot of knowledge to be learned from going to all these different chains. And so, yeah, I think multi-chain is the future. Omni-chain, multi-chain, bridging, whatever. And that's obviously where there's a lot of security risks at the moment. That's where the hacks happen. But, you know, it's another focus. And I think, yeah, it's the future.
And they all offer something so different. And, like, if I was to start another NFT project at the moment, the choice of chain would be completely... I would choose the chain based on what we want to do with the NFT. And, like, what utility is... What's the NFT do? What's it for? What's its... utility, and then decide that first, and then decide, okay, what chain is that going to work best on, you know, like, and why, you know, like if you're doing like a, obviously, you know, the obvious one is like sort of anything with like DeFi and staking, like you're not going to do that on ETH because gas fees are crazy and people aren't going to want to do 1,000 transactions with your NFT because it'll just cost them heaps of money. But so where are you going to do that? So that's why I think like AVAX went so crazy with like chicken, like that NFT project, Aussies, hey chicken, smashed it on AVAX, and the timing was so perfect. I think it was just like Avalanche DeFi was just pumping, NFT bull run on Avalanche was just happening. It was the middle of the bull run, and it just, people fucking AVAX went nuts
was,
for it.
AVAX was pumping. Like, I remember, yeah. You remember when good bridging happened? Everyone who bridged into AVAX, they got like an airdrop of that token, and then like you hopped into the Telegram, and I was like, what the hell's going on? My bag's going to the moon. It was just chaos, but it was like good chaos, right? Then you had chicken, AVAX party animals. It was that fella, Lachlan, who was speaking to yesterday, Oz CryptoCon. He was part of chicken, and what was the other one?
He was part of APA as well.
He was part of AVAX. He's been like a Discord mod and like community supporter of a lot of those projects on AVAX.
Jump right into it. Yeah, right? Yeah. And what I've taken away from what you guys have said so far, you've dropped so much alpha. So if you're not in the space, just rewind and just re-listen to that a few times in terms of like Twitter handles, Discords, projects. But what I've heard from you guys so far is options. There's options. Right, it's not a one horse pony, a one trick pony. It's not a one trick pony, whatever that is. It's not a one trick pony. You find something. You guys have brought your own passion and ideas and concepts. Brought it to a community. You've gotten some feedback. Created something else. You've all brought your strengths. You've all brought like how each other can bring something and create value, whether you're an artist, whether you're a film producer, whether you are starting to get into coding and marketing and starting to understand community management, there is options, right? And you can explore that because people, it's just an extension of the web, right? Because there's going to be people that you'll resonate with that are in these kinds of communities. Do you think one of the most apprehensive components of people jumping into Web3 is the confusion and that kind of setup kind of moment? Like, it's once you're in there, like, you're so passionate, like, you can see it. But what do you think is like one of the most biggest barriers of entry right now for people, because people want to come in, and what's your advice to get around that?
We were just chatting about this before, about like, you know, you look at what a MetaMask transaction looks like at the moment, and it's like just numbers and gas, and it looks dodge. And I'm sure MetaMask is going to change that, but there's little barriers to entry like that it is confusing, and it makes you feel dumb when you're coming in. And people don't like to feel dumb. Like, I remember the first time, when I first got into crypto, I'm asking my friend who sort of got me in, like, I was hitting him up all the time, asking him dumb fucking questions. Well, what I thought was dumb questions, and I kind of felt like I was like, I'm like, I don't want to annoy this guy. This just sounds silly, but that is the biggest thing. But the reality is like, don't be afraid of that, because everyone has gone through that. Yeah. Everyone has had to ask dumb questions. The UI, the UX is just not quite there yet, but if you get in, don't be afraid to jump in any Discord and ask any dumb question, because you'll be pleasantly surprised with the response you get. Like, because the people in are passionate. Like, we're all passionate. Once we're in, all we want to do is onboard people.
I think it's like any advice, it's always, especially with business, it's like, get a mentor.
Yeah.
And I think it's such an important thing in this industry as well, right? Get in, find someone that can take you under your wing, understands what they're doing, and can show you slowly through. I mean, that was Peter for me. Wouldn't be here without him. He taught me everything I know. And then from there, you start to find your own interests. You find you know, certain areas that you want to explore yourself, and then you go off, you know, and then, like you said before, the greatest gift is to be able to give to someone else, you know, and so then you become that for someone else. I think that instance of reciprocity is really abundant in the space.
And there's that moment when it just clicks. Like, it happened to me a couple of months in, and it all just clicked for me, and I was off. But that is the biggest barrier, how long it takes for that to click.
It's kind of a difficult question to answer in a lot of ways for me, because I think that one of the biggest barriers to entry is that lack of education, right? But there's one thing that I kind of enjoy about the blockchain and cryptocurrency and that the scene in general, which is, you know, the best people, the people who make the best decisions, are the ones who are really taking initiative and doing their own research. And I think that's just a good step for humanity in general. Like, I personally don't like how self-reliant we've become, or how much, I mean, just with our attention spans, the way that we consume media and consume all content these days, like, we're kind of so complacent to be told how to do things, and we don't we're not really ready to use our, we're not really willing to use our initiative as much as we used to. So as much as it is a barrier to entry, I very much enjoy that one of the biggest things that is implored to you when getting into the space is to do your own research and to have your own and to own more responsibility. And this is the thing that comes with decentralization in general, right? Like if we're going to step away from the banks and all that sort of stuff and do all that, or you're going to have more control over your assets or over your money, it means more responsibility. And I think like that instinctively is the biggest barrier to entry. I think a lot of people don't want to get involved because they know that there's so much responsibility, whether it's the keeping of their seed phrase or whether it's, you know, protecting their investments and investing in the right projects and not listening to some influencer or idiot. There's so many parts where you have to use your own brain and your own initiative. And whilst that's a barrier, it's also a positive. So it's kind of a weird thing. Like I would never remove the need for that. You know, I don't want people getting into the space who just want to be spoon fed through the process. Like this space requires initiative, like bring your initiative, want to learn. I think that you need that want to learn. It's very important.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it depends on the kind of person as well. And you know, we're given so much and it's everything's so easy in today's day and age. You know, everything's two clicks. You can have something at your house the next day. This isn't as easy as that. So that's an uphill battle for sure.
And there's refunds and the bank, if you do something dumb, the bank will give you your money back. Like safety. Crypto is pretty brutal. Like if you fucking send money to the wrong wallet,
it's gone.
See ya.
Yeah, exactly. But it's unforgiving. And so I think that that has a long way to go as well if we do actually want people to come in the masses. I was talking to a friend yesterday and he loves what we're doing as Oz NFT, bringing utility and bringing value to artists. You know, you guys, you're a prime example of people that have just come in and you're so creative, and I really want to jump into some of the more creative stuff that you are doing. But his whole thing was like, I love it, I get it, but I don't care about crypto. I don't want crypto. Why do I need crypto to participate in NFTs? And it was honestly not a bad question. And it's something that we don't really think about. You know, you go to the crypto con and you go to these places and we're all sort of together and we're all like, you just kind of accept from a baseline that cryptocurrency is just what the blockchain is built on or with. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Is what would you have said to him when he asked that question?
I think a common kind of conception, a misconception maybe about like what cryptocurrency, especially like Bitcoin and Ethereum is now, is there a means of transfer between humans? It's money, but it's not tied to banks. It doesn't have a centralized force. So essentially what it is, it's like I can trade with someone in Nigeria, I can trade with someone in India on an agreed global currency that goes between me and you. And because that lies outside of the system. So it means that we don't have to both trade our money into US dollars to then just transact with each other. And so right now, I mean, that's the stage of what it is, but it's early days. And ultimately what we're doing is we're creating a new economy. So it will get a lot easier for people to kind of enter this way. I mean, there are onboarding wraps, is like, I think Yoshi's one, or I don't know if KuCoin do one as well, but I think at the moment, this is the freedoms we have are granted by the fact that we are using another kind of means of trade, means of currency. And so that's kind of the way it is now. And I think like, yeah, that's kind of this has been birthed because of a need for it, I think. And yeah, that's kind of what I would say. But
I would say like fundamentally to his question about like, what, you know, why do I need crypto to buy NFTs? It's like, I'd say to him, like, kind of forget about cryptocurrency. Like NFTs that are utilizing technology of the blockchain, like I get currency and everything, that's like money and everyone wants to flip and make cash, but like let's all agree on like what the actual like big step forward here is, and it's blockchain technology. Like that's the real, like
it's the leverage
point. That's the big
transparency
thing,
yeah.
That's the future we're talking about here. We're talking about the cataloging and the transparency and all of the incredible things that this technology provides before currency, you know. So I think that's what I would say to him, is like you think less about crypto and like understand that to get into NFTs, you're talking about assets that are really utilizing blockchain technology, and that's kind of the reason why he would, you know.
Fully, like Bitcoin is the only actual currency one that basically is just serves that purpose. Whereas obviously, well, a big misunderstanding maybe is like Ethereum, sure, there's the token, but you build on Ethereum. So it allows for you to build projects and have things run by Ethereum. So whether you want to hold Ethereum or not, it doesn't matter, but you can still build on Ethereum. At the moment, then you obviously still need ETH to buy those NFTs, but there's nothing to be said that you can't do a credit card payment in, you know, Aussie dollars or US dollars, buy the NFT and still participate in the community. You'll have to hold that NFT, but you don't have to hold crypto to own NFTs. At the moment, you kind of still have to do it. But I think it probably will flip. Like, once all these major companies get into it, they're obviously, their NFTs will probably be built on Ethereum, but their value point might sit more in, like, pegged to a stablecoin or something.
Crypto.com is all dollars, right?
Australia. Yeah, crypto.com, which was like a big one. When they were selling their credit card and stuff, they were using US dollars as like a value for what they were doing. I think you still needed to have Crow or whatever to buy them, but MasterCard are now in looking at blockchain technologies. Like, it's coming. I think it's just like you have different options now, and yeah.
I love it. I just want to pivot into two things real quick. Some of the cool creative stuff that you guys are doing and working on right now, because I love seeing you guys get passionate about your project.
Being like a couple of cool things that we do, like we've been a band for 10 years, plus 10 years. We've got a lot of experience in putting on festivals and events and all sort of stuff. That's where we come from traditionally. So yeah, we're putting on a festival. Well, we are all teamed up putting on a festival next year. DJ, you want to talk about that, Alex? But
bloody oath. Yeah. So yeah, as Freud said, we do a festival each year called Dark World.
What is Dark World?
It's on my t-shirt right now. This is Dark World Festival.
We're going to zoom up.
Yeah.
Dark World is like a fully immersive... It's a rock and roll festival, but it's a fully immersive rock and roll festival where, like, once you get there, it's like there's like a maze to get in. They take like... There's like actors who take your phone and cover your sticker on your phone. Yeah, cover your camera with a sticker, so like... And there's inside, there's just like crazy installations going on. Obviously, it runs like a regular festival with bands and everything, but we've got like theater and all of that sort of stuff. So what we're doing this year is DGen. And DGen is essentially a very similar vibe to Dark World, where we're going to have it be this sort of, it's not a crypto conference, it's none of that. It's a party. First and foremost, it's a party. We're doing it at the Miami Marquetta down here. But basically, it's going to be, there'll be like 20 plus NFT projects, a whole bunch of marketplaces and blockchains and stuff involved in the events as well. But each NFT project will have their own stall and booth. We're putting on a whole bunch of epic bands, DJs, there'll be live auctions. Basically, it's going to be a full day event that sort of begins with like a market feel. And so people can come and just experience and discover a whole bunch of projects, meet some of their favorite projects as well. We're going to have a couple of big names there. And then that sort of transitions through the day into an all-out rock and roll party that ends with everyone way too pissed to drive and with a wallet full of sick NFTs and ultimately, like, yeah, just a great experience. Like, we want to celebrate everything that is DGen culture. And DGen culture like runs so deep throughout other subcultures. I think, like, obviously the music industry, like, you know, art scene and everything, it all resonates with what DGen means. And we're going to basically just do a physical, we're going to bring internet DGen culture to life and just inject it with a shit ton of rock and roll music and a good time.
It's kind of like, yeah, modern day, that punk we were talking about, like neo-punk kind of style where it's like, yeah, just kind of challenging what goes beforehand and, yeah.
Like you'll come to DGen to have an epic time, discover projects, listen to some great bands, awesome
live
music.
Art, live art, all sorts of cool shit. Like, just want to, like, I want to reiterate that quote I was dropping yesterday at the CryptoCon, which was, there's one thing more valuable than currency, it's culture. And like that, it's just, it hits me so hard because it's like, it's so legit and like, it's weaved our way into the way that we're planning this event. And, you know, Josh and I were talking about the onboarding ramps and like the onboarding challenges that you know, projects and initiatives face, trying to bring people into this culture that we're experiencing, this absolute explosion, almost revolutionary explosion of artistic culture that's happening online. But it's like, let's celebrate that. Let's, you know, split the crowd down the middle. Like, people who are fully into it, people who are a bit curious. Get them all together and, like, prove to everybody that, like, this is... It's a full... It's a fucking scene. And it's early, but it's exploding. And it's full of really passionate people that work really, really fucking hard.
100%. I think it's going to be a testament to what's going on in the space and sort of, you know, just an exhibition of the culture. And I think that's what I'm so excited to see, to be involved with you guys and to see it all come to fruition. Can you give us some specific details about sort of when it is, where it is, what people can expect, how they can follow along and get involved?
Yeah, so it's at the Miami Marquetta, which is on the Gold Coast. The date is the 26th of February, which is a Sunday. Basically, it'll be like about a 7 or 8 hour event. Don't know exactly what the start time is, but, you know, we'll start sort of in the middle of the day and run right through until about 9 or 10 p.m. at night.
Is it a one-day event?
One-day event. There will be a whole bunch of little satellite events happening all over the weekend. We might do one here, mate, if that's all right.
Yeah, free NFTs for the boys, for sure.
So, yeah, like, you know, certain marketplaces and blockchains that we're having featured at the event will probably do sort of side parties and stuff. So your ticket will get you all of that for the whole weekend, but the official event is one day. You can expect 4 or 5 epic bands, maybe 3 or 4 epic DJs, over 20 NFT projects from all around the world, live art, auctions, Tomb Heads auction house, plus a few other auctions on all chains
stuff as well. Yeah. Like, we want to make sure the people who are curious at the event do get an opportunity to get an insight into, like, safe investment, what NFTs are, good run throughs of, like, you know, what it means to be an NFT collector and being in the NFT scene. Definitely nothing too formal though. Nothing too formal. Like, yeah, character is definitely important. Mm.
We'll be launching the Twitter this week, I think, like socials and stuff. So
they're starting to roll out.
Yeah, handle is DGen Festival. So at DGen Festival, and yeah, we'll be officially launching this week. So
today, yeah.
Today, I guess, yeah. Yeah, today. Well, later on. Well, this is going to go to air later. So yeah, today.
Amazing, guys. Pete, did you want to finish with anything?
Well, I just want to, just before we finish with DGen, I don't know if anyone has actually been to the Miami Marquetta, but that is a incredible fucking venue. Like, you walk in and you can literally feel it on the walls, right? Emma and Brad Emma has curated just an incredible venue. As you got, I'm talking, you go in a room, you got Frida Kahlo hand stuck, like full 6 foot, sorry, like full like 10 foot walls for Frida Kahlo, just dedicated. You got another room that's just dedicated to champagne. You got another room, all the toilets are just decked out with the Beatles across their entire history, a library back there. You've got, it's just an incredible venue, right? And you've had incredible artists. They've had amazing bands there. And just when you, like, using your words, injecting the crypto degen culture with rock and roll, what's not to be excited about, right? What's not to be excited about? Like, you hear that, you're in there, you actually feel it on the walls. Like, that feels like, talk about an onboard ramp, right? That's where it's going to be fun. That's where it's going to be fun. You don't have to worry about what a gas fee is or how to set up a seed phrase, what the fuck that is. You're just like, bro, I'm going to get some little NFTs and I can work this out later, because you're going to want to be there. It's straight out, man. It's going to be bigger than Ben-Hur, I'm saying. Like, fucking
oath. It's just a huge party. Yeah. Ultimately, just come and have fun. Like, yeah, it's fucking, yeah, oath. It's not about... There's other conferences for, like, the nitty-gritty tech stuff and all of that. That's not, we're not trying to do that.
Nice.
And they have their place, absolutely, but we know how to throw a sick party, and so that's what we're going
to
do.
And you've got a proven track record, so it's an absolute honor to be working alongside you guys. I can't wait. Can't wait. February 26th. Yeah. Let's go.
Very excited.
Guys, off air, we'll tell you how much we love you, but again, on air, we're telling you how much we love you. It's been absolutely amazing to cross paths with you guys, the Pink Flamingo Social Club. You can check them out. It's Phantom Flamingos on Twitter.
FTM.
acronyms. FTM Flamingos on Twitter. Same with Discord, and they can find you guys personally as well.
PinkFlamingoSocial.club is our website, so it's nice and easy. But yeah, we've got an upcoming ETH mint, so if you're keen to get involved, keen to see what we do, we do have NFTs on sale on Phantom, Avax, Matic. You can pick them up on secondary. Well worthwhile if you are looking to gate with the ETH. And you mentioned an AR figurine before. That is going to be handed out to people who do own all four of our flamingos. So a flamingo on each chain.
Cool. When are we going to hear about that?
It's I sculpted by hand in clay. So we're currently kind of figuring out exactly how to digitize that, because we want it to be very good quality.
Yeah.
We want it to be something that's a prized possession for people to put on their desk and you know, scan their code and show off their NFT. So we're looking at pretty much what that requires. But we're going to, even though I sculpted it by hand, I'm saying we got to fucking scan the thing 3D and then we got to reprint it and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
There's a big process on how to get that done, but all our shit we do is quality, so we want to make sure we make the time and make it badass.
Yeah, I love it. It speaks leagues of you guys as well. Everything you put out, you want to put quality, you're not putting shit out.
Yeah, it's take time.
Yeah. And where can people find you guys if they resonate with you guys in particular?
On Twitter as well. So, Freud Art.
Yep, Freud Art.
Alex MTMM.
The Langlio NFT man.
We'll put him in the links.
Yeah. Rams. It's Rams as well. That's my producer name.
Dude, the day he made that handle, like, Dave, me and Alex just laughed and we're like, bro, that's the longest Twitter handle.
The Langlio.
Yeah, he's
like,
no, stand
I like
out.
It. It's like who I am. 3 months later, he's like, nah, I'm Rams now.
No. I'll tell you, I didn't feel, because Rams is my music producer name, so I didn't feel comfortable coming into the space being this music producer, because I was in the headset that it's crypto, it's finance, kind of stuff. And then as I spent more time in the space, I just realized, whoa, I can just bring who I am from a previous life into this new life.
Fuck,
so that's what it changed. I mean, I'm still DeLanglio at heart. The people that still love DeLanglio, people can't pronounce the name. So that's something to think of if you're getting into this space. Short, nice Twitter handles. Was it five letter words?
Yeah.
Five letter words. Yeah. Works.
This amazing looking cyborg popped up on my Twitter the other day called an Avex Machina. And I was like,
uh-huh.
Who is behind this? And then obviously I worked out it was you, Weapons. Give me a little bit of insight as to what an Avex Machina is.
Avex Machina is a recent venture. I mean, going cross train with the Pink Flamingo Social Club. We made a bit of noise on Avex at the time, and I sparked up a new relationship with a crew called Avex NFTs. Kind of went to the boys. I was like, look, this other project that I want to kind of dip my toes in. Mainly artistically, so I could experiment with stuff, because Avex Machina, they use a lot of fine art detail, right? So for a lot of artists listening, like, the generative process is so wildly different. Like, it's so exciting. Like, when you being a traditional artist, having just like your one of ones or just one piece you work on at a time, the process of a generative is incredible, right? Like, you go into a Photoshop and you're building these files of, like, each folder's got like 20 different noses and, you know, 50 different eyes. And like, the process is so demanding and so expansive. But there's a lot of things that I wanted to do that I couldn't do with the flamingos. Like, it was my first generative. So for the Avex Machina, it was very much why I took it on, was like, I wanted to play with transparencies and like different blend layers and Photoshops. And like, you put all this finite generative details in what looks like like an NFT. When you really zoom in, you see all these different little aspects to it. That's what I was fucking around with that generative. So that's been a great project. It's literally started as an art project, like I said, an art experimentation generative for me, and has since evolved into this wild narrative that's been written by the holders and the collectors on the blockchain. So there's a lot of exciting developments coming in there. Like, that project's just developing faster and faster. Now we're bringing on Alex, bringing on other people, parts of the team, to like really push this project and get it to like the next phase. But yeah, man, that's been a labor of love. It's slow mint. It's like been a real arduous project. But yeah, it's seeding some really good results, purely because the Avex blockchain in a lot of ways is massively supportive. Like, got a lot of support from Ava Labs a couple of months ago. They flew me up to New York and stuff to do a live NFT gallery in Brooklyn. So I did that. And yeah, there's been a lot of great advancements just as me as an artist. Like, yeah, I could not implore artists who are not in this space enough to like really consider a proper jump into NFTs. But just the scene that surrounds this is like, I've been a part of creative scenes my entire life. Nothing as supportive as what I've experienced in NFTs and on the blockchain.
Amazing.
Nowhere near.
Amazing. I want to touch on the storytelling element that you guys are employing for Avex Machinas. What advice do you have, or what can you tell storytellers out there that, you know, might be able to take their process or take their art or their craft to the next level with NFTs and with the blockchain?
The storytelling element's really interesting. Like, we were talking about it before, like the actual general advantages of the blockchain, right? Before it becomes currency and stuff, it's a great place for cataloging. Like, it's like hands down what it's the best for. That's what it's, you know, almost primary function is the recording of shitloads of data, yeah, and just holding it on a chain, right? So it was kind of taking that aspect of like, how does a massive collaborative effort, if it's storytelling, for example, how does a massive collaborative effort get one recorded, cataloged, and then like is immutable? So it's like the information is there forever. So these are kind of advantages that we really started to play into with the Avex Machina project, because it was never intended to be a story. It was just art at the start, and it's since really blown up into this thing. But it's having contributions from multiple different places in its decentralized nature. So we're really starting to look at like the future of storytelling, and like how the blockchain can be a piece of technology that takes inputs from everywhere, from a shitloads of different locations, right? A cumulative input. And using blockchain to catalog that, not only catalog it, but vet it and sort through it, and like, you know, and then extract.
Also
like
using the community
as that input.
Leaning on the community to be the people to actually write that, yeah, which is super powerful. Like, so instead cool. of one brain, you've got fucking thousands of brains.
Yeah. That's right.
All sort of like brainstorming on ideas and backstories and like, you know, everything. Like,
yeah, we've got marine biologists and astrophysicists and stuff who are just casual NFT collectors and holders who never regarded themselves as creative writers, but now they hold this NFT and they're really trying to search and get the guts of the utility out of this thing, and it stumbled them towards this small little pocket of a Discord where every week they're allowed to bring their expertise and knowledge on marine biology when we're talking about aliens or creatures, and another person's able to take their actual understanding of astrology and astrophysics and tell us how space travel works. And like, it actually is end up being the most valuable people for writing a sci-fi, because these people actually fucking know the science behind a lot of these concepts and they care. And then all of a sudden you've got this, like, you're sharing the load and building this sci-fi world. It's accelerated creativity, man. Like, everything's happening so much quicker than you yourself, this genius creative. You know, like, you can't do everything on your own. Like, not everyone's J.R. Tolkien. Not everyone has the time to neglect their fucking family and lock themselves in a basement for fucking 60 years, you know? Like, that's what he did, and that's what not everyone should have to do. Like, I think decentralization and the blockchain and the technology that provides and collaboration, community
yeah,
collaboration is a really, really exciting step for storytelling.
Yeah, I'd say for like creative writers too, specifically, like, we got a good friend JM Luna who kind of like, obviously he was very interested in the NFT side of things, but you know, as a creative writer, where do you fit? Well, he's now been able to slot in with all these different projects and help these projects who are maybe artists write their backstories. And an NFT project needs to have more than just art. These characters need to live in a universe, they need an identity, they need all this kind of stuff. So as a creative writer, like, you can come in and work with projects if you're not necessarily an artist to help build their story out, to help define this. And you know, now you're even seeing poetry come in through his NFTs. You're seeing these creative stories that could be, you know, it can be an audio visual experience of just a short story you've written with some visuals going on and some music in the background. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, we just start with the profile picture, but that's like web pages. You know, that's when the internet first started. You had a web page that showed your fucking family, or like, you know, this is this one spot. Now we can interact with social media and engage, write, add, all this kind of stuff. And it's just, that's the next pro step for a...
Bro, if you're beating your head against a wall, right, we were that for 10, 15 years. But like, we're a fucking niche theatrical rock band, like, that plays with dancers and weird shit. Like, we're weird as shit. Boss Moxie is the band. But my point is, right, if you feel like you're an artist out there, and when I say artist, you are a creative person, whether it's woodwork or fucking creative writing, or if you feel like you're throwing shit against a wall, consider this space, because there is literally, like Dan is explaining, there is a spot for everyone and there is a place for everybody, and there's shitloads of opportunity. And if you get in now, you're so fucking early, for one, you know, but what else is your option? Are you going to stand there and keep throwing shit at a wall, or like, so get into it? Like,
what are some like tangible benefits that artists will find or will experience from coming on into the crypto space?
Community, number one, a really great way to build a community, engagement and exposure of their art. Obviously the financial side as well, like, you know, you're tapping into a market that is international. It doesn't have a local scene. Like, if you're trying to sell your art physicals in your city, you're kind of confined to that unless you got great marketing globally. You kind of cut that out. And so revenue is a huge one. I think like artists, creatives, devs, everyone, they get paid what they deserve to get paid in the crypto space, which is great. But yeah,
I'd say creative freedom as well. Like, you can literally create whatever the fuck you want and you'll find an audience. Like, it's not like you need to have, yeah, meet the TikTok model, meet the Instagram model, meet the Facebook model to get your content there, meet Netflix. It's like you literally create whatever you want and there will be people degen enough to get involved and love what you're doing. And yeah, freedom's been the big one. Financial, fully. Creative, community, empowering each other. Like, yeah.
Alex, you're in film production. How can filmmakers take advantage of the NFT space?
In exactly the same way, honestly. I mean, I'm actually developing a project at the moment, which is a film, which will be, it's still a fair way off, but we're basically going to create, fund and produce this, a film, which is funded partially by NFTs. But so the, as far as benefiting though, what I really see as the exciting part is kind of what we were talking about with Avex Machina, is like, we're going to be building our community at the same time as the film is getting written and created. So our community will have such an active role in the actual creative side of the film, as well as, you know, just enjoying the finished product.
Kind of flips the consumption model on its head, doesn't it?
Yeah, you get super fans because they feel a part of this thing and they will be a part of this thing. So when it finally comes out, you know, then you distribute it traditionally as you would any film and you get your new viewers. But with your current, you know, a couple of thousand that have been there sort of along the journey of this film's, you know, writing and then pre-production and then production and post-production, and then it finally comes out, like, it's pretty special for them. And obviously, yeah, there's like, tied into that obviously is ownership and royalties, and there's all a bunch of utility down that way. But as a filmmaker, I think, you know, as just as I would say to any creative musician, artist, filmmaker, like, there's so much opportunity and it is so early. Like, there is a couple of films being made in this model at the moment, but they're the first. There's no clear distribution model in Web3 yet, but it will come. But yeah, you can actually at the moment be a part of creating that. So
imagine if you got to be part of creating the Star Wars legacy,
right?
Or Lord of the Rings, yeah. And you know, you wrote or submitted one piece of content that made the film, like
Jar Jar Binks. You wrote Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, imagine, yeah,
you could have written Jar Jar Binks' character, man.
It's and entirely
everyone would have hated you for the rest of your life.
But yeah, opportunity is the big one. Why you should get in? Why wouldn't you get in? Is kind of what I would say. Do what you do in Web 2. Don't go all
don't
in.
Stop. You don't need to stop. Right? No, it's not replacing anything.
No, it's not. Yeah. Go all in and fucking, you know, potentially get wrecked, but like, you may as well open up this as an option, and if it's right for the project, you'll know.
Or not. You can just keep doing whatever you're doing. Just don't complain when it's like you missed the train.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking oath. Just get in and have a go, because the options are there, the opportunity is there. Like, you guys have just 100% fulfilled, and you are continually
there's
doing
new job titles, dude, that didn't exist a year
ago. DAO master, you know? Community manager, community builder. The hell?
Yeah. I want that role.
The Cho,
the chief hype officer.
Yeah.
The Cho.
It's a very important role. It's up there with CEO, CTO, the CHO.
The Cho. Cho Binks. Right.
We're the henchmen, and these legends have let us record this here.
Yeah. Shut out.
Closed, and we didn't Miami. Ask. We just sort of did. And thank you.
Coldest beer on tap. The coldest beer on tap.
Cold great beer, place. Good bites, good dogs, good people.
And freshly painted benches.
White.
Really clean white new benches.
Cool, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on NFTs Are For Everyone. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you guys. I'm really looking forward to DGen and the ETH Mint for the great migration of the Pink Flamingos. A lot to look forward to, guys. You guys are quality. Check them out on all Twitter handles, all social handles. It's all in there. We'll drop the stuff in the links. Looking forward to, guys. DGen Festival 2023, February. Let's go.
LFG.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Thanks so much, guys.